It's Wednesday, November 8th, 2010. This is Wendy Erickson. I'm a reference librarian at the Parchment Community Library, and today we're taking the oral history of Ron Mitchell. Ron, what is your full name?
Ronald Joseph Mitchell.
When and where were you born?
In Chicago, Illinois.
What?
One block away from Cub Park.
Oh boy. What year were you born?
In 1938.
Okay. And where do you live today?
Kalamazoo.
All right. And what is your personal connection to the Parchment area?
I go to St. Ambrose Church.
Mm-hmm.
Catholic Church.
Yes. And?
I worked for KV. It was KVP when I started. And then we went to Brown Company.
Right.
And then we went to James River. And then after I retired, it went to James River Crown Vantage.
Right.
And then they shut the mill down at James River Crown Vantage.
That's right.
But I retired in 1995.
All right. You started in 57, you told me.
Mm-hmm.
Retired in 95. And what was your first job at the mill?
I worked in the paper mills. On the paper machines.
On the paper machines.
As a broke hiker.
Sure.
And worked my way up the ladder.
How'd you get that job?
Well, when I was a youngster, I lived in Otsego, Michigan. Otsego.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad, he got a job here in 1950, when it was at KVP, and he worked in Mill 2 in the roll room.
What's your dad's name?
Fred Mitchell.
And what's your mom's maiden name?
Nagy.
Nagy. What's her first name?
Margaret.
Margaret Nagy. Okay. All right.
Now, my dad was working here. And I was going to go to college, but I decided not to. When I graduated in 57,
mm-hmm.
And I come to the mill, and Joe Pravanka was the one that was doing the hiring here at the time. Well, at the time when I graduated, I was a highly rated baseball player.
You were? In high school?
Yes.
Yeah?
And
you played for which team?
Otsego High School.
Otsego High School. What position did you play?
I was shortstop and pitcher.
You were.
And when I come here to get my job, Joe Pravanka looked at me, and he says, "Can I help you, Ron?" And I said, "Well, you must have a piece of paper there with my name on it."
Yeah.
Come to find out, he had to talk with my dad.
Oh.
Because he went around the mill, and he had to talk with my dad. My dad says, "My boy might be coming in to see you about getting a job." He says, "Is that your boy Ron Mitchell that played for Otsego High School?" "Yes." And he says, "All right, I'm all ready." So when I come in to see him, he said to me, I asked him, he asked me, what am I here for? And I said, to get a job, if I can get one. And he giggled around, laughed a little bit, and he says, "Ron, I know all about you."
Oh.
And I said, "Oh, you know all about me." He says, "Yeah, you were 4 times a Wolverine Conference All-Star."
Oh.
And I said, "Holy cow, I guess."
Yeah.
And he says, Joe at the time was really heavy in with Western on the athletic part of the program.
I see.
And he stood and he says, "Yeah, I understand you want a job." And I said, "Yes." And he says, "I'll tell you what the deal is." He says, you can have a job. But you got to do me a favor. And I said, "What's that?" "You got to play for our ball club."
Uh-huh.
Well, at the time, they had a softball team here.
Yes.
And I said, "Okay." He says, "Does it get a job?" "Sure heck will. I just love to play ball." And that.
Yeah.
And he says, "Well, I know that. And we would like to have you. And he says, "I want to start you Monday in Mill 1 Machine Room." And I said, "Okay." He said, "There'll be some guys coming around talking that are going to talk to you." Well, at that time, this guy I play golf with a lot now and that, and we are real good friends, Bob Buckmaster Sr.
Okay.
And he was a boss in the finishing room type coding area down in Mill 1 here. And another one was Lou Warner, who was a pitcher for the ball club.
Ah.
Well, they come up to see me, and they said, "I understand you are going to be playing for us." And I said, "That's what Joe Pervanka told me." And I said, "Yes." And he says, "Well, this is what we're going to do. We have a softball team, and our team plays against..." Which was the Sutherland Division had a softball team.
Uh-huh.
And some of the other businesses around here had a softball team. Well, we play against each other. And then we have a company up in Canada.
Yeah.
And I can't think of the name of that company, I hate to say.
Well, but they were in Espanola, weren't
Espanola,
they?
Espanola, okay.
Yeah.
And he says, "We have to go up there this year to play their softball team."
Yeah.
I said, "Oh, okay." And then they're coming down here to play us the next year, which we played in the park in the back.
In the Burger Park.
Burger
yeah.
Park. And I said, "Oh, okay. Hey, anything. I got the job. I got the job because I was being a baseball player and that. I'm glad to."
Yeah.
Buckmaster says, "The only thing is, Ron, we got a problem. I know you can run because you were on the track team in Otsego and you ran the 100 and 220."
Oh, you won track? You ran track also?
Oh, I was a six sport athletic man. Six letters.
Okay.
My dad and Ma don't know how I did it in the summer because I played tennis, baseball, and ran track.
Yeah.
The only time I never played more than one sport at a time was in the winter because it was only basketball, which they had at the time.
All right.
But in the winter, I played football.
Yeah.
And ran cross country.
Okay.
So anyway, he's there. He says, "I play." Buckmaster says, "Bucky says I'm the shortstop." And I said, "Okay. I know you're a lot better ball player than I am, moving around in that, but I would like to ask you, would you mind if we step you out in center field because you are such speed on your feet?"
Yeah.
"And the two guys we have playing, one in right field and left field, don't cover the ground that good."
Okay.
I said, "I will do anything to be able to do this and that. Mr. Brabanka, I don't want him to get mad at me, you know, and all this."
Sure.
So when I got done talking to them, I went and they found out when we were going to have our practices and all this stuff. And then I have to go home. Dad says, "You had your practice today, didn't you?" I said, "Yeah." "How'd you know?" He says, "Mr. Pervanka, you didn't see him, but he was watching you."
Oh, my goodness.
And he says, "Oh, my God, Ron can hit that ball pretty good, too." And he says, he told my dad, he says, "He's going to be our number four hitter, and he's playing center field." Dad says, "Hey, Ron will play anywhere you want him to play,
sure,
where you need him." And
sure.
Dad was very proud of me and all this, and I said, "Okay."
Yeah.
And
well, how did you do against What was your season like?
We beat them. We beat them all the time.
Beat who? Sutherland?
Yeah,
all the time?
Yes. 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 And they stood there and they said, "Hey, this ain't fair. You got. Are you sure all your players are working for you?"
Right.
They didn't think I was working with them, with the company.
And sure.
They said, "Yeah, he is. Yes." Yep. And because they said, "Here's a kid you got. He can play six positions."
Yeah.
Yeah. And I couldn't pitch softball. I couldn't pitch the softball, but I was a real good pitcher in baseball.
Okay.
But he said, "Oh, you guys."
They thought you were a winner.
Yeah, they thought, where did you guys go to get this guy? He says, "Well, his dad talked him into coming in to talk to us." And then Mr. Bravanka, he acted like he didn't know nothing. Like he said, he come in and asked us for a job, and I give it to him. And he asked me, he says, "I understand you got a softball team, and I want to play for you." So that left clean slate for Mr. Bravanka to act like he did. And I said, okay. So
how long did you play on that team?
Well, we had it till in the late 60s. And then they decided to do away with it.
Oh.
And
okay. So maybe 10 years, a good 10 years.
Oh, yes.
If you started in 57.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there was one year, it was so funny, a few years, business got bad in the wintertime.
Yes.
Or in early spring.
Okay.
And I got sent down to the acid machine to work in Mill 1.
Okay.
Where they do the coating of acid on the sheets of paper to make different grades of paper.
Yeah.
And... well, Lou Warner was, he was the pitcher on our team, and he says, "Hey, we got a ball game this Saturday." Mm-hmm. And I said, "Hey, I'm working 7-3 shift. I'm not in the machine room, I'm in the acid machines.
Oh.
He says, "You will be there."
Okay.
Well, they were warming up over here to play, and I wasn't there yet.
Oh.
And Joe was jumping around, and he says, "Where's Ron?" He says, "I don't know, Lou. Lou says he was working the 7-3 shift. That's all I can tell you." So Joe leaves them practice the playing field, and into the mill he comes. He walks up to the boss there, and he says, "Where's Ron Mitchell?" "He's down on the wet end, down on number six machine working."
Yeah.
He says, "You know we got a ball game today." "Yeah, I know that. He is supposed to be over at the playing field. Well, who am I going to get to run that machine if he's not here?"
Yeah.
All I know is Joe said, "If you don't have him over in that field in the next 20 minutes, you might as well say they don't have a boss to boss them around."
Oh, wow.
So all I know is he comes and says, "Hey, you got to get over to the softball field."
Yeah.
And I said, "Well, I got this. I just started this here, and I got to get it going here."
Yeah.
He says, "Get now." So off I go.
Sure.
And I got over there. I walked in out of my car and onto the field over there. And Bravanka, he's smiling like a sound. He says, "I'm glad to see you, Ron." I said, "I'm glad to see you guys too. I didn't think I was going to be able to play today."
Yeah.
So,
sure, and you beat him.
Yeah, we beat him. And
did you guys go on the road much? Traveling?
No.
Not too, it was just local.
Just the local.
The local mills.
Yes,
that you played.
Right. And they had the softball field over on Sullen.
On the
over
where
there.
Was that? East Michigan? Where
yeah,
was that?
Yeah. Yeah, over there.
Yeah.
And finally, we did build a softball field in the back of Mill 2.
Yeah.
By the back by the river there.
Right.
In that area. Right. But other than that, I just worked my way up through the ladder.
Were you on swing shift?
Yes.
All the time?
Oh,
yes.
Doing
swing shift. Yeah.
I worked swing shift, and I don't know what 60 hours only is. I work, majority of the time, I work at least 72.
You
do? A lot of 80, 90 hour weeks.
Overtime?
Yes.
A lot of overtime?
Yes. I grabbed everything I could grab at the time.
Were you married?
Oh, yes.
You're married.
I got married, and I got two boys,
okay.
And being that I live so close to the mill, but I did live in Parchment.
Right. Where did you live when you worked at the mill?
Did you say
Cooper?
Cooper.
In Cooper.
Out where, I don't know if people know where Crestview Golf Course is.
Yeah, okay.
But it's on D Avenue, just before you get to the blinking light on D Avenue in Cooper.
Okay.
And it'll be on your right-hand side of the road, and Crestview Golf Course is between D Avenue and C Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
I lived on the back of C Avenue from the golf course.
From the golf course, okay.
And I could, when I worked overtime, I always got an hour to go get something to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And I lived so close that I'd call my wife 20 minutes before I was going to leave the mill here.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I would get home enough time to eat and everything and spend a little time with my two boys then.
Sure.
And get back here to the mill before my hour was up and back to work.
Wow.
And that my wife says, I don't know how you're doing it. I don't know how you're doing it. And he says, my mother would always tell my wife, says, Ron is, I don't know how, like you say, you don't know how he's doing this. And that I could not figure out how he did his sports as much as
did.
And
right.
kept his grades up so good.
Yeah.
And because here I was having to play, especially in the spring, I was playing baseball, running track, and playing tennis at the same time. But not that happened to be that the tennis matches when I had to go play were on a Tuesday, and the tennis coach would go talk to the baseball coach and the track coach and said, listen, Ron's not going to be with you guys today. Now he said, he's going to be with me. And they said, okay, we understand.
Yeah.
And I've seen times where when we had a baseball game, we had a track meet at the same time. But it was, and we always, like I say, they had the field right close to each other.
Yeah.
And my coach on baseball would have to go talk to the umpire and say, listen, if for some crazy reason, it just could happen. If Ron gets on base and they holler, he's got to get over to the track to run his 100 or two in the 220 track. They would call time in the baseball meet, and I would run over and put my shoes on track and run that track meet, wherever one I was on, and then get back and get on base where I was, they would start the game up again.
For heaven's sakes.
I don't know how they talked the umpires into it, but they said, hey, this is the way it is. You guys don't have enough. We didn't have enough baseball players. We only had
stamina to burn, evidently.
Well, I did, and then one day, like I say, on a Saturday, these guys are goofing around, because we went up and we were goofing around with tennis balls, tennis rackets and that. And this guy comes over to me after we got done, and he says, Ron, you can play this game.
Oh.
I said, a little bit, you know. He says, I am the coach. I want you to play for me.
Oh, my gosh.
And right there and then, my mother says, I don't know how you're doing it, son. I said, well, I never had 6 hours in school.
You didn't?
It was 6 hours, my study hour.
Yeah.
And my study hours, I was in the track shoes running from Otsego to Plainmoor, which is a 3 mile one way and 3 mile back. But I told the coach, I said, okay, that's for the fall and the spring. I asked the coach, what am I going to do in this wintertime. He said, you just come on down here and we'll goof around in the gym. And that, or we might go out, I might run a little bit with you down the road. And that. So I never had 6 hours.
I see.
And I thought, boy, I can't believe this.
Now, do you ever have any, did you want to play pro ball?
Yes, I really did.
You did.
Yeah, and I kicked myself for not really trying to, because I had my eye on Al Kaline.
Oh, sure.
Al Kaline graduated 2 years before me. He graduated in 1956.
From?
55,
from
rather.
From the same?
No.
Not from a
from
different school.
Baltimore. He lived in the city of Baltimore.
Oh, I did. Okay.
And I kept watching him. My dad says, hey, there, your ball player, he signed with the Tigers. And I knew a little bit about it, but then I happened to see this summer, they ran a half-hour life story of Al Kaline.
Yeah.
How he was rated as one of the top outfielders of that year, uh-huh, coming out of high school.
Yeah.
And he could have signed for ball clubs, made a huge amount of money.
Yes.
I mean, back then, when I'm talking about huge, $5,000 to $10,000.
Yeah.
That was big back then.
That was.
And he stood and he looked at them team and he said, no. He says, and then the Tigers offered him and signed him for $5,000.
Yeah.
And he says, yes, I will play, because he looked at what the Tigers had.
Okay.
And he went to spring training.
Yeah.
In 1955.
Yes.
And then they were just going to figure on signing him to Toledo or some other minor league part of the ball clubs.
Yeah.
When Al Kaline come up and he started hitting like a samba gun and playing the outfield like heck wouldn't have it.
Right.
And made the starting team lineup in April.
Right out of high school.
Right out of high school. Well, he knew he could have made it anywhere, but if he would have went to the other teams that wanted him really bad, offered more money, he'd been down in minor league because he wouldn't have been.
Sure.
But he looked and he says, if I go with the Tigers, I can get and possibly make the starting team and be playing right out of high school, which he did.
So he was your role model. You thought,
yes.
Did you think, well, I can do that?
Yes, I
can. I'm going to try and play right out of high school.
Well, see, what happened was, when I got out of school, we were a poor family, my mother and dad.
Yeah.
And dad was just barely, and I could not get a scholarship from anywhere.
Okay.
And they weren't just giving out scholarships very good back then.
Yeah.
And dad says, I'm sorry, son, you're going to have to go to work.
Yeah.
He says, you're going to have to forget about what your ability, what you got, how your abilities you got. And I said, well, I guess I better just come and try to get a job where you're working, Dad.
Okay.
And he says, well, we'll see what we can do when you graduate.
Sure, sure.
And then after that, when I walked in, I couldn't believe it. When I walked in, I didn't know him at all, and he's sparking like a snap. See, it's just seeing Joe Pravanka.
Yeah.
And I turned around and I said, sir, do you want to know about me? He says, Ron, I know everything about you.
Yeah, I bet that was something.
He says,
what?
I know all about you.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, okay. So,
I mean, after you worked there a couple years, you probably realized, well, there was no going to the majors for me.
No, there wasn't. And I couldn't afford to go to the school, college. And my dad and mother were just barely making it back then.
Sure.
And, So
you played ball for 10 years for KVP?
Yeah. Yes.
Instead?
Yes.
Yeah.
The only thing Joe said is, I wish you would have been able to have got here about 5, 6, 7 years earlier. That's when Sullivan had this semi-baseball team.
Oh. In the early 50s they did.
Yes. And they done away with it then before I got hooked up in and got late in the late, but early 50s and that 40s, and they had a lot of good ball, and then I said, oh, gee,
yeah.
So I've been working, like I say, I worked for the mill, and now.
Well, who'd you play with? What were some, besides Lou Warner and Bob Buckmaster, who else was on the team?
We had this guy named Carroll. He was my left fielder.
Yeah.
And he worked with my dad.
Okay.
And he was up in his age a little bit. And when, I mean, he was in late 20s, early 30s when I started. And my dad told him, he says, you don't have to worry now. He said, why? All you got to, he was a big hitter. He was an awesome
hitting. He was. Okay.
Oh, I hit the home runs. He followed me in the batting order. He was the big hitter.
And
my dad says, just do your best now at hitting, because my boy is going to cover a lot of your ground.
Uh-huh.
I've seen times when his ball was hit out the left field, he'd be out from here to book in. I said, have you got it? He said, yeah, I got it, because if not, I can move up and get it.
Yeah.
You know, and he says, I just felt so much confidence knowing I could hear Ron's voice in the back.
Really?
And he says, when he asked me if I got it, I said, go get it. And then he says, if not, I'll move up, I'll take it from you.
Sure.
In that.
Sure.
And he says, it was just felt good. And he says,
mm-hmm.
And well, when I didn't get anything big hits, when I was getting the big hits, like the doubles and triples or more than that, when I was on base, Buckmaster says, watch this. He says, Ron is
were
the
you a runner? You were
yeah,
a runner.
Right. He says, Ron, you watch this. Ron's going to steal second base. And then when I stood there, I always touched my left knee. When I touched my left knee with my hand, and I looked in at over, and I says, the coaches go, if not, but most every time I touched my left knee, I felt I could get the jump and go.
Yes.
And he says, go it. And I've seen times, well, there's a few times there when they threw the ball and they almost threw a little slightly goofy.
Yes.
He says, he won't slide. He's going to third base all the way.
Standing up.
Yeah.
Really?
So like I say, I'm 72 years old now.
Yeah.
And I just got done swimming.
Today?
Oh, I swim.
You did?
Yeah, when I can't play golf, I swim.
Excellent.
I swim. I done just now 40 laps in 38 minutes.
Oh, my. What?
And the guys,
fantastic.
And my doctor tells me right now, he says, Ron, whatever you're doing, because when I walk the golf course.
And you walk.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So in the spring, I mean, when the weather's really, like today, I should have been out there playing golf the way this weather is today.
Yeah.
But when I go at noon, Plano High School for seniors.
Okay.
Then where your school taxes go to that school, you can go and swim from 12 to 1.
I see.
And I'm there every day, Monday to Friday.
Swimming every day, all those laps?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Now, my doctor says I'm 72 years old.
Yeah.
He says, but Ron, your body says you're only 60.
Really?
You're 15 to 18 years younger than what your body says.
Fabulous.
And he says, I just can't believe. He says, whatever you're doing, do it. And another thing, I'm a tremendous math student.
You are.
And I was in school.
That was your best subject in school?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I could figure out how to do problems and skip a step.
And really?
And I would sit there, and when I had algebra or any kind of math classes and that, the guys, kids around me were sitting, and he says, Ron, how are you going to do this? And I said, skip the second step and go to the third. But this you got to go through the routine of, I'd tell them what it was.
Yeah.
And a math teacher, he would say, Mr. Walters was his name, and he'd say, this is the way we got to do this math problem. And one of the kids spoke up and says, sir, Ron can do it quicker than that. And he would turn around, and I'd get a look like that face on that right there or that. And he's looking. He says, Ron? And I said, yeah. He says, we got to do it by the steps.
Yeah.
Or these kids are not going to catch in that.
Okay.
Well, I said, okay. Well, then he stood there, and we would go a few weeks later, and we're doing something, and I'm mumbling there, and he says, all of a sudden, back then, teachers could punish you if you did something goofy,
sure.
Wrong, you know.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I see a racer go flying by my head.
Oh, no.
He says, Ron, I wasn't going to hit you, but I wanted to scare you.
Oh,
he said, I told you this. You got to let these kids do it the right way. They don't have the ability to do what you're doing. And I said, all right. So
your friends asked you.
Yeah.
You just didn't answer.
I didn't dare to go home and tell my dad anything that went on in school. Because I don't know. Now these days, you notice all the trouble these kids are having. Some of these kids are in school.
Yeah.
And these parents are going right along with it. Now, you could be a school teacher, but you want to punish these kids somehow or something.
Mm-hmm.
You don't dare to say hardly anything. Because if you say something, they would go home and tell their mother and dad that you did this, did it, did it.
Yeah.
Who's in the... You're in the trouble, not them.
Yeah.
Well, back when I went to school, we didn't dare to go home and tell my mom or dad nothing.
What the teacher said
there was...
There's
three of us guys that lived right close to a classmate.
Yeah.
We all lived close, right by. We goofed around a lot.
Okay.
But our fathers of each one of them said, if one of our fathers are not around here and you guys do something that you're not supposed to, you're going to get punished twice as bad as you would have at school.
Okay.
And so I said, all right.
So you guys had to toe the line.
Toe the line.
But you were good in math. Did that help you at the mill?
Yes.
Being good at math?
Yes, because I have had it when I was up there farther up. This Don Lewis, he graduated at Sigel same time I did, but he was working in Mill 2, and he got moved up pretty good, and he got to be a boss. Then they made him a superintendent, and I remember they sent him over to our mill. We kept getting so many new superintendents. They finally said, I said, Don, what are you doing here? He said, well, what they're going to do, they're going to send a new guy here every 6 months to work with you guys over here. And then we're going to switch and have somebody else come. And I told him, I said, you won't want to leave. He said, what are you talking about, Ron? You won't want to leave once you get here. He said, and then he said, I need your help a little bit. We had some things on the machines that we were trying to get done. He says, tell me what you were talking about on different parts of the paper machines that should be fixed or taken care of the way they should be. And I said, okay. He says, because I'm going to the meeting and I'm going to talk to the guys in charge of the maintenance people and see what they think.
Okay.
And he come back and he says, boy, I didn't tell him where I got the idea from. But they said, that might work. It sounds awesome and all that. And whatever I did, it did work 100% perfect in that.
Really?
And he stood and I told him, I said, Don, when you're here, by the time they're going to send you back, you will not want to go back.
Oh, yeah.
So he was into his last month. It was 6 months, last month of it. And he come up to me and he says, come back from the meeting. He says, son of a gun, you're right again. I said, what am I right about? He says, I told them that I want to stay permanently in Mill 1. Them boys, them guys, and I, he just, I didn't mention you. He said, but they know what they're doing over there as papermakers.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, because when I got hired here, I couldn't believe these guys like Jack Raven, Jim Small, Tom Davis, Harry Smith, Joe Provan, or not Joe, but I mean Joe Williams, and back in fact, right near the end, Bob Buckmaster's boy was working over in Mill 2, and he stood there and he says, he happened to hurt his hand. He lost two fingers in a press roll with shooting on that, and they wanted to give him a boss's job, and they said, well, we got one opened up in Mill 1. Why don't you go over there? And he says, we'll put you on with this group of guys. This one kid graduated from Otsego, right where you did. His name was Ron Mitchell. Oh, my dad told me all about him. Well, he come over, and he was a boss, and he says, I was so lucky to get on a shift with you guys. And he says, I can't believe how well you guys work together and know your jobs and that. And matter of fact, when James River bought the company, they sent some big wheels up from Richmond, Virginia, where the company is. And they come in and here we are, just like this table here and that. All of us are sitting there. So he goes to see Dale Brock, was a superintendent at the time. At that time, he went in. Dale come out laughing like, because Dale Brock at the time he was a worker, and he moved up to boss, and they moved him up to superintendent. And the guy went in and he says, you know, you got 5-6 guys out there just sitting, not doing nothing.
Oh.
And he says, yeah. Is the machines running? Yes. Well, you're making money.
Oh.
If they're not, if them machines ain't running, they're up having to take care of whatever the problem is.
Uh-huh.
What are you talking about? He says, you don't bother the flow when everything is going smooth.
Yeah.
And that, and things. And he says, when I do have a problem, them boys will straighten it up real quick.
Yeah.
But the more they're sitting, they're watching the machines, but they're sitting because it took so much time for the paper to build up on a roll of paper.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and then it had to go to a winder, right back to the winder part, to get cut up into different size rolls. And that's the. And he says, when they have to work, they work.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a time period in between, and actually, there's only two people that really do more work, three people that do the more work up here than anything, and that's your top man, the top two men, and the bottom man.
Yeah.
And the top man is your machine tender that makes the paper. The other one is the back tender that makes sure the paper is built like it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And the broke hire has to take care of all the odds and ends pieces that they had to go back to the wet end to be chewed up again and made into paper again.
Yeah.
Well, what's the other guys do? And he said, well, when the roll is done, it goes to the winders. The winders, they cut it up, and then his fourth hands will take it and put it on a skid, and down it'll go to shipping.
Right.
On an elevator and back down to shipping deal.
Yeah.
And then, but we don't,
Don't bother.
As long as everything's running nice,
it's all going. Yeah.
The only time I have to worry about is when all of a sudden, if there could be a problem where we need a maintenance person to do something real quick or something. If I hear a whistle blow, then I got to come out and say and ask the boss, "What's up?" He says, "I got to have an electrician for here. Or a pipe fitter here, or Then he has to get a hold of the maintenance people to be up there. Then the machine will be sitting still until that part or whatever it takes to fix it, to get it working right again.
Okay.
But he says, usually, everything usually going pretty good. It's everything's.
Yeah.
And like I said, my wife says, I know you just worked 16 hours, but round about, of the 16 hours, I might have worked maybe 8 hours, 7 hours, round about, but the rest of the time I was just sitting there because, wow, everything's, you know.
Exactly just, right.
Yeah, I had to get up and do this a few minutes, and that, and that, and everything. But, and.
So it was a good place to work.
Yes. Yes, it was. And everybody that come from Mill 2, we got this Andy Chapp. He was a worked for maintenance, and he was the one that went around making sure all the parts of the machineries and that had oil and grease and everything. Just make it good now. And Andy says, I can't believe you guys make it so easy for me.
Great.
And it's so clean.
Yeah.
It's so clean.
Yeah.
And that.
Now, I heard that Andy might have been an athlete.
Yes.
Did he play on those
teams? Yeah, he was my third baseman. He's third baseman.
I was just going to say, he was
a third baseman.
Yeah.
Yep. And Andy stood there and he says, he told Bucky, he says, I'm glad you talked Ron and to go out. He said, if anything, he said, Ron, we might move you in if Larry Jones, doesn't want to play this year's second base.
Okay.
Can we move you? We might move you into the infield that way.
Yeah.
But now Andy was, he was a third baseman.
Yep.
And
yeah.
Lou Warner, he was our ace pitcher. We had good ball clubs.
Yes, it sounds like it.
And then I had this one guy that, it was Bob Bird, he was a catcher, and we just had a good rhythm on everything.
Yeah.
My rhythm went so nice is in working and playing the sports when I did.
Yes.
You just say, and I never know anyone of the guys that got peeved off to somebody else and ended up having a fight.
Okay.
Never had fights or anything.
Great.
And we had this guy, Archie Ellis.
Yeah.
Now, he was when I got hired, he was a back tender.
Mm-hmm.
And we had what we call a swipe guy.
Okay.
That went around cleaning things when there were certain ways you could clean.
Yeah.
And Andy Chapp got up to the age, and he didn't want to move down to the onto the wet end of being a machine tender. And he went in to talk with the superintendent, whoever it was at the time. He says, "Do you mind if I would work as a swipe boss, as a swiper rather?" And he said that was straight day work too.
Mm-hmm.
And matter of fact, they let him do it. And Myers Thrifty Acres up on Gall Road, where the gas station is on Gall Road.
Yeah.
That's where his house was. And he owned all that property that Myers Thrifty Acres is sitting on, the whole parking lot and everything.
Really?
And you figure it out where his garage, where the gas station is.
Right.
That's where his house sat.
Oh,
the farmhouse.
Goodness.
And it had all that.
Yeah.
And he was a heck of a farmer, he could grow things. And he would bring stuff into us and that. Hey, we were cooking our own food a lot of times and that.
You were.
And that, like this Dale Brock, he was an awesome hunter. Awesome hunter.
Okay.
Every year he would get deer.
Yeah.
And everything and that. And he'd say, okay, you guys, this Saturday, whoever the day crew was, I'm going to treat you. I'm bringing in a roasted deer meat and that. And then we would have a heck of a feast and all this
stuff. Yeah, you would.
And we would work it out so some guys would be working and some would be eating at the time. But, he says, yes. And that guy, the old Oregon, now what the heck did they call them? The Michigan type mushrooms.
Morels.
He could go out and find them like
boy.
That. Well, he stood there and he says, I'm going to bring some mushrooms in. And I was working today, and he says, Ron, I understand your wife is telling me you're good at deep frying. I said, yeah. Boy, he'd bring them in and we'd set this thing up. We had maintenance people. The maintenance guy, Boston, he says, I can't understand it. What's going on in Mill 2 today? Mill 1, rather.
Yeah.
He says, why? Everybody wants to go up there. They got to have some work done. No, they do. I was doing the mushrooms, and they were coming up to get their feast of it.
Wow. That stuff.
But we had that way of, Dale would do that, and then we had this guy, too. Now, he faked me out. This is the craziest thing. Ron Parks was his name, and he was a type of hunter, too. Well, I didn't catch it quite when it happened was when they brought the food in that day, and they were fixing it. And he had it done. His wife brought it in later, had it fixed. And I stood there and I said, Ron said, ain't you going to eat nothing, Ron? I said, I'll grab something now. I got something coming up. I got to get onto the machine on a certain deal. So I grabbed this part of this meat and I'm eating it. And I was like, golly, is this awesome?
Yeah.
And I come back and I said, okay, I'm free. And everyone's looking at me. And then they said,
okay.
I said, what is this stuff, Ron? Well, they told me it was turkey.
Uh-huh.
You know, I didn't know that. So, and I said, boy, I don't know. I got to go get another. I got my plate, and I'm getting some more. Boy, this is good. And I'm not ready to take a bite into it. And this one guy up where I was working with, he says, Ron, that's raccoon. And I said, you're kidding me.
Oh, really?
And I said, well, it didn't taste bad the first time. I don't care. So I ate some more, a little bit of that. Well, we would pull little crazy things like that.
And, mm-hmm.
But I tell you, of the years I worked, we had a good group of
it
guys.
It sounds like it.
Yeah. Oh, and that.
So, Ron, let me ask you some. We're getting close to winding up here. Let me just ask you, what is your wife's name?
Ruth.
What was her maiden name?
Kodal.
Okay. How do you spell that?
Khodl.
Okay. And where was she from?
Plainwell.
From Plainwell.
She graduated 1 year after I did.
Okay.
I met her. I graduated in 57. She graduated in 58.
Okay.
And I met her before 1957 was over with. We were in Plainwell. Downtown, they had this one spot where they had this Friday night dance. And this guy, lady, couple girls there that went to school with my wife said, hey, you ought to come to the dance there, Ron, in Plainwell there. And I said, okay. So a couple guys, those guys did. And they didn't tell my wife at that time that I was going to be there. And I didn't know her either.
Uh-huh.
And Margaret was her name, this girl, and she said, Ron, I want you to introduce you to Ruth. And we danced and got talking and that, and I said, boy, I had fun tonight. She said, I did too. Well, she went with the girl, and I said, you don't mind if I call on you, do you? She says, no, it wouldn't mind, but I forgot to ask. Don't have me where she lived. And so I had to go find out and that. And we hit it off just like that.
Yeah.
And
you have two sons.
Yep.
What are their names?
Dennis and David.
Dennis and David. Do they live here?
Oh, yeah. No. Well, they're close. One lives in Vicksburg.
Sure.
And he did live in Vicksburg, but now he lives near North Portage. When we went to school, Portage was just Portage.
Yes.
And now they named that Portage Northern.
Oh, yeah.
There.
Sure.
Now, where it's right along Sprinkle Road.
That area.
Yeah. Well, my boy lives a little ways down from there, and he works for State Farm Insurance, the buildings up by the airport.
Yeah.
And my youngest boy lives in Plainwell.
Okay.
Out by the airport.
And his name is?
David.
David.
My oldest boy. Okay. For 15 days, they're both the same age.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Oh, now, I'll take it back 13 days. I'm wrong.
13 days. Okay.
David's birthday is on October the 15th, and my oldest boy's birthday is on October the 28th. And my wife says, oh, God. Okay. So, but anyway, David, he's like me. Uh-huh. Very, with
athletic.
Figures.
No, oh,
figures
math?
In that. Yes.
Got a math
line. Yes. And so he works for Flomos.
What do they do?
Work on pumps.
Oh, sure.
And things like that.
Yeah.
Well, when they had this trouble, well, my boy is right now, he's in the Army Reserves.
Uh-huh.
He's got 22 years in. He's going to get 25, and then he's going to get out.
Yep.
He is one of the master sergeant. He trains the students at Western on ROTC.
I see.
And before that, he was sent down to Georgia to train the kids that were going to be sent over to Iraq. Well, he is very, like I say, very good with figures and everything, mm-hmm. like I am. And can you work with these computers and that stuff?
Sure.
And well, he got back from his job, and his boss says, "Here's your office is still the same, Dave. We didn't do nothing with it."
Oh.
And he's their top computer engineer.
Oh, okay.
And that stuff.
Okay.
He was sent to Upjohn to straighten that plate, their pump, their system up before they sold it to Pfizer.
I see.
And well, he got back and he's sitting in his wife. His boss says, "Listen, I got to go do something for a half an hour. I'll be back and I'll explain everything to you. We changed everything around." Well, he was gone 45 minutes. He come in and here's Dave working. He said, "You know how to work this?" "Yes." "I know this."
"Oh,
yes."
"Oh my goodness."
He says, "Your other five engineers don't know." And I keep having to tell them, "Well, now I know who they can fall back onto." So then when this accident happened down in the Gulf on the oil well.
Oh, yes.
They kept fighting. Well, my boy was sent to Texas. That was
the BP oil spill. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, this is, you remember that week they finally shut off?
Right.
Okay,
oh, yeah.
He was sent a week before that down to Texas to talk to the big boys, the PP there and all that. And they took him out in the boat to the spot the week before that. And he got back and he said, told them, "This is what you got to do."
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "If you got to do it the way I say, or it will get three times worse than it is."
Okay.
They went out the following week, and that's the week they did it. And they did it just like my boy said.
Yes.
He's watching,
yes,
making sure that one of them didn't make a bomb move.
Yeah.
And he is the responsibility of how that got shut off the way it is.
Oh, my gosh.
And Pfizer and now they said, "You can't believe how PB is honoring them to make sure that everything they need, whenever they need something, their company is." And he says, "Dave, I might have to help you because they have a company too out in California, and they sent their best guy there."
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like having a person with the A average. And now you just send the person with a C-.
Yeah.
And he told Dave, he says, "Dave, if I ever have it where I need you, you know what's going to happen." He said, "That's why I work for you."
Great.
And things. So both my boys, my boy, oldest boy, he's up a little bit on State Farm Insurance in the offices there. He's one of the top guys there. And my other boy is with...
So your children are doing well.
And now my oldest, my younger boy, give me two grandsons. And my oldest boy gave me two granddaughters.
Oh.
But now this weekend we had the two grandsons, and I couldn't believe it. I'm sitting there. I work with a lot of puzzles.
Okay.
And that. And 10 years ago, more than that, I'd say 15 years ago,
yeah,
I was working with a computer. And I went to get my yearly physical, and my wife says, "You ought to see Ron. He's always working with a computer or that." And he says, "Why are you doing that, Ron?"
Yeah.
I said, "My dad died of Alzheimer's."
Oh.
And I said, "I don't want that to happen. I'm going to keep this alert."
Sure.
But back then, this was about in the middle of the 80s.
Yeah.
He said, "That ain't going to help you, Ron. That ain't going to help you." Well, 3 years ago, he says, "Whatever you're doing, keep it up."
You bet.
Because I was wrong. You keep doing whatever you're doing to keep this alert.
That's and right.
I can say, I could come up with, "Oh, why is that chair, da da da," or something. Or some crazy dumb thing, and I work it.
Equations.
And I
said,
and my wife sent her, she says, we're watching television, and all of a sudden I got the computer and I'm working with it, calculator and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And she was like, "I don't say a word. Don't say a word." And he says, he's contented.
There you go.
He's contented. Well, my youngest grandson stood there. I was doing that, and my wife and him were doing multiplication. And he stood there, and he was doing the multiplication, and he says, "Andrew, you're missing a step. You're going from step two to step four."
Oh.
And then he looked, and my wife said, "Oh." and he stood there, he's proud of it. And then they brought him, and he said, so he went to do something, and he says, "He is exactly like you."
Oh, boy.
And then when his mother and dad showed up, he went up to my daughter-in-law, and he says, "You know, Andrew, your young one, he's just like Grandpa."
Yep.
"He's just like Grandpa, and when he gets the, you can see it, when he gets the problem, wherever he's doing correctly and that, whambo."
Yep.
It's
a great feeling, yeah.
He's laughing.
That's
he's
great.
He's smiling, and yep. Grandma says, "You got me, I just can't believe you. Yeah, you're just like Grandpa."
Ron, if we can wrap it up here, I have one more question to ask you.
Sure.
What do you consider a successful life, and how did KVP contribute to that?
By allowing me to work and do what I want, but I'll tell you why I've had a successful life, because of the one man I was working with. His name was Jack Raven.
Yeah.
And I tell you, when I was I was just 39 years old. And he says, "Ron, what are you thinking about ahead of time?" And I said, "What are you talking about?"
Yeah.
"What are you going to do when you get up in your retirement age?"
Okay.
"I don't know." I said, "I'm just happy right now. I just made my last payment to my house."
Yeah.
"My house is paid off."
Yeah.
He says, "Hold off." He says, "I'm going to have somebody come out and talk to you." And I said, "Okay." And it was IDS Mutual Fund. And this guy come out and talked to me. And he says, and he talked to me, and he says, "What I want you to do, Ron, if you want to do it, I think you ought to think about this. I want you to send me every month your monthly house payment."
Oh.
Yeah. So I did, and I could see how that was building up. And we got to the point where me and the wife, we said, "Hey, why don't we throw what income tax we get back from our every year, throw that into it.
Sure.
So I kept doing it.
Yeah.
I did it for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when 95, when I retired,
yeah.
I called this guy up. I said, Scotty, I'm retiring tomorrow. How am I standing? I had an idea where I'm standing.
Yeah.
And he's there and he says, I'll be out to talk to you.
Okay.
All right. I thought, something's fishy here. Something's fishy here. He come out and he started talking to me and he says, Ron, you listen to Jack, yeah. You listen to me. You got one problem. And I said, what's that? If you get to age of 95, you're going to have to go back to work. I don't want to say that word. You're kidding me.
Yeah.
He says, that's how awesome. And that's why I said, early days, anything up to Bush's years.
Sure.
The market was going berserk.
Yeah.
And everything was going in.
Yep.
And just like I told a wife, back in the early days, I'm talking about the 90s,
mm-hmm.
and the 80s.
Yes, sure.
I had to pay the federal government $2,000 income tax.
Yeah.
And I said, holy cow. I said, honey, we put $10,000 in our pocket.
Yeah.
At least, or better.
Yeah.
Well, now, this Jack Raven, I can say he's passed away now,
mm-hmm.
but when he was alive, yet, and I turned around and I said, Jack, you can't believe this. How I am doing. I knew you would.
Great.
And that. And he says, now that Scotty died, and I got this Nate Coles is my agent.
Uh-huh.
And I stood there, and I got an awesome account.
Yeah.
And I told him, I said, I want to do such and such, And I've talked to him before on other things.
Mm-hmm.
When I said, and I made moves and that, and he says, God, I wish I had the knowledge you had.
Oh. Yeah.
And he says, I want you, I said, I want to make some more moves. He said, what are you talking about? There's a way of moving money from one account to another account without having to pay one bit of taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Roll over, and that. And he says, let me check into it. And he says, okay. He called me up and he says, you're right.
Oh.
He says, but I want you to do me a favor, Ron. I'm going to give you the number of this agent in Minnesota, which the company's at.
Uh-huh.
Well, and you tell her personally how you want to do this.
Right.
And that.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, he's coming to my house the last Monday of this month.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I spent 2 hours with you and I talked to you on different things. And I can't believe how you riddle things off here.
Yeah.
And that.
Yeah.
And things. And he says, I wish I had your knowledge back
yeah.
then. So it's working and that's working. And like I said, I told my wife, I said, I got you set, honey. The only thing you got to worry about,
mm-hmm.
if we're both here after 90, in our 90s,
right.
fine. But if I ain't, you got nothing to worry about.
Yeah, that's great.
And my wife says, thank you.
Oh,
thank
yeah.
Thank you.
That's great.
And her mother told her, she says, honey, after we've been married about 10 years, she says, you hooked on to the right one.
He's great. Like,
you can't, I just can't believe when I ask Ron a question, how he can come up with so many crazy. It was crazy, but after
yes.
a while, it works. Everything
right.
works the way he says.
Great.
It's going to. So I have a happy and contented life.
Great.
And a healthy life.
You do.
And right now,
great.
Every year, the only thing that's wrong is me and my wife. We see our doctor once a year
yeah.
for a physical.
Yeah.
And the woman, you have to go through more things.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife says, you know why we're that way? Because you were a tight ass when we were young. And she says, well, I said, what are you talking about? You, when a pack of cigarettes was only a quarter,
mm-hmm.
I'd say, well, it's not. I told her, too. I said, if I ever catch you smoking, we're done for.
Yep.
But we took that quarter every day, every week, day, and put it in that jar.
There you go.
And we had a contest at work here. Back when I worked, you had a time limit to go. You could pay your Social Security off. I mean, your Social Security bill off before the end of the fiscal year.
Oh.
Whoever would get that done would win this. Where everyone put in $10 in on it. And I said, honey, I want it again. And we dop out, and October the 4th is her birthday.
Yeah.
And we would go and spend that money and enjoy it.
You bet.
And she kept saying, why we're so ornery and lucky right now?
Yeah.
Because the way you acted, plus my mother was Hungarian.
Mm-hmm.
My wife knows every kind of Hungarian dish that you want to make. And the doc says, that's why you guys eat healthy.
Yeah.
Now, my wife just made the other day a big pot, a homemade soup from the beef shank.
Yes.
And then all the vegetables put into it.
Right.
And, well, we're enjoying ourselves this week.
Fabulous.
With that.
Well, Ron, let me just thank you.
Yeah,
so
I didn't think,
much.
Yeah.
I know when we first came in here, you wondered how we were going to fill up this time, and we filled it.
Well, you're letting me talk, but I thought we were going to do something about the outing or the get-together.
Oh, and we're going to do that again next year outside.
Yes.
So that we have more room and more time.
Yes.
Yeah, we were pretty crowded in here last July, and we didn't think we were going to get all those people.
But you know what you want to do is, like I said, get a hold of the parchment mayor here and get a hold of Cooper Township.
Sure.
Cooper Township sends out this little piece of paper.
They do, right.
So it tells you what's going on during the year.
Right.
And if you could put in there on such and such date, it's always, okay, the second Sunday of July would be ideal.
It's the Sunday right after the Kindleberger Festival. So I think it is the second Sunday.
I'm just going to say, don't forget July the 12th. That is the James River get-together at the library.
That's right.
And they'll see that because they're looking at recycle and garbage, one taxes and all this other stuff was all on this piece of paper.
Right.
So if you put that, get that in there and get, I don't know if they're, if you, and put a something in a paper about a few weeks ahead or something. I know you did. But there's, like I said, Andy Chop was one.
Uh-huh.
He wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob Churchill was another one.
Oh.
He wasn't there.
Okay.
And then he's telling me, he said, I wish I knew that, but we had plans set. They had airplane tickets or whatever it was.
Sure.
To go do something.
Sure.
Well, if they see this, the 12th, July the 12th. Mm.
Okay.
And
okay. Thank you so much. I'll take your advice.
You'd be surprised. The people that weren't there will write that down and say, hey, we're going to make sure we're there this year.